The first song is number 73. We usually don't do this until later in the service, but the Bible stands, so I think we should too. All right? Song number 73.
Thank you. announcements this morning. The first one, we have some birthdays that are being celebrated this week that I forgot to mention during Sunday school. First is Nancy Pirelli, and I just discovered that Amy Anderson has a birthday this week, too. So let's sing happy birthday to them. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right, very good. First thing, then also, I already mentioned this, but I want to say welcome to our visitors. We're really glad you came to be with us today. Could someone get them some visitor information so that there's a card that will be handed to you. If you would just fill that out, and please let us know how you found out about our church. We'd love to hear about that, and we hope this service will be a blessing to you, and you'll come back and see us again, okay? Great to have you with us today. All right. Everybody knows this, that the Andersons are here. We haven't had an evening service in quite some time, so there may be a few of you that have forgotten when it was. It's at 6:30 p.m., okay? So this tonight and next Sunday, you're going to have evening service at 6:30 p.m., okay? Don't forget, we've got most of the days filled up, but if you would like to host a meal with the Andersons, either out at a restaurant or in your home, please sign up on the sheet there at the wording and take care of that, okay? So this is your opportunity to get to know the Andersons a little bit. Those of us on the search committee have done this extensively in the other times that they've been here, and so this is your opportunity to do the same. I think that would be a blessing to you if you're able to do that. The last announcement I have here is for Pastor Reddy. I announced this last Sunday. What's going on is, unlike here in America, when children get married, and they're not children by then anymore, they're adults, but normally it's the bride's family that pays for the wedding with help if needed here in the States. That's how we do it. Over there, it's completely the opposite. His son, Sam, is going to be getting married, and over there, it's the bride and groom's family that takes care of the cost of the wedding. And so, to try to help him out, we are taking a love offering. Please take one of the envelopes in the back there, put your gift in it, and mark on it, Ready Wedding. You have to put wedding on the envelope, because if you don't, we'll think you're just giving it for his missionary work. Okay? And by the way, you can do that as well if you choose to. Okay? So put that in a regular box, the offering box there in the back. And then, as we always do, whenever we have a guest speaker, we are taking a love offering for the Andersons. So if you want to do that, there's the light blue box in the back that's for that purpose as well. Okay? So I think that covers the announcements that I'm aware of. We're not going to take the time to look at it during this service, but continue working on Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Okay? So I think that's it as far as announcements. Okay, let's take our chorus books once again. We'll be singing 125.
Fair. as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. Say there's many mansions in that city, a crystal river flows by the tree of life, and no pain or disappointment
for that song this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. It's so good to be here today. We thank God for His great blessings to us. And once again, I'm thankful for my wife being here with me today. What a blessing. And I'm thankful for each one, your kindness to us. We're so thankful for God's goodness in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, once you found it, if you would, stand together as you read the text, verses 1 through 3. of the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Lord willing, this evening we'll be looking at a beginning of a book of Scripture. But this morning, Hebrews chapter number 12, entitled Consider Christ, Looking Unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1, and we'll read verse 1 through 3, and then we'll pray and be seated. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's bow forward a prayer, ask the Lord to bless as we look into his word this morning. Father, we do thank you for the privilege we have to be here today. We thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you, dear Lord, today for the fact that you are the one that we're looking unto. We're looking unto you, for you are coming again. We're looking unto you to help us in our day-to-day life to live in a way that would please and glorify you. Lord, our focus is today, Lord, is about you. We ask that you'd help us today, cleanse of sin. Dear God, empty us of any pride or selfishness or anything that would be a hindrance, that we would not be in the way, but that instead you would be seen, that you might be high and lifted up today. Lord, we know that's what your desire is that we would lift you up and exalt you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done and for what you continue to do in our lives. Help us, we pray. We need your enablement. We need your power today. We need your working in our lives. We might be able to be that kind of a testimony to this lost and dying world. We pray you'd help us. We pray that you'd be glorified. We ask it now in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As we consider this morning, let me ask you this question. Are you considering Christ today? Are you focusing upon the Lord Jesus Christ today? Is he our focus? We want to consider four key truths about this aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, if you're taking notes, consider Christ as we run the race. Consider Christ as we run the race. Let's look back at verse number 1 here in our text. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." As Christians today, as we consider this chapter following the great faith chapter here in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, where we consider that the Bible reminds us that without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, it does not tell us without faith it would be difficult for us to please God, but instead, it reminds us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We have to have faith to please God. And as we live our Christian lives, we need to remember that we cannot remain stationary in our Christian walk with the Lord. Because the truth of the matter is, if we're not going forward in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not moving forward and continuing on, and as we looked at this, talked about this morning, pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. If we are not going forward in our Christian life and upward in our Christian life, we are really going backwards because we cannot remain stationary. Let me share an illustration with you. When someone is lost in the very extreme part of the cold of the far north, there is grave danger of freezing to death. The first step in that process is beginning to fall asleep. The first step, as they begin to fall asleep, they will begin to lose that consciousness, and you will have to fight the sleep and keep moving or else face physical death. And in a spiritual sense, I believe the danger is the same for us as believers. We have to force ourselves to stay awake, as it were, spiritually, and keep moving forward in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we'll just fall asleep. We can't say, well, I used to do this for Christ, or I used to consider Christ, or I used to be dwelling upon Jesus Christ and making Him my focus and my desire, and I used to read my Bible and pray every day. I used to spend time telling people about Jesus. I used to do this, or I used to do that, but I just don't do those things anymore. We need to continue in the things that God would have for us to do. And the more time we have, the more light that God has given to us from His Word. And He expects us to take advantage of what He teaches us in the Word of God. Now, as we consider the context and the text of this scripture, again, the great faith chapter of the Bible, but considering this great faith, as we see in the verse 36 through 40, the Bible says, and others, speaking of these different individuals, had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And as we consider these many individuals, that were some were named and some were not listed by name, because the Bible says that here there were so many that time would fail to tell of these different ones and the details of their lives here in Hebrews chapter 11. And as we consider the beginning of chapter number 12, we see this word, wherefore. Now, whenever you see that word, wherefore, it's another word that you need to pause and see the context and see the details that are going to follow and see what that word, wherefore, is there for. All right, see why it's there. Notice, wherefore, the Bible says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, as we study through this, some people say that it refers to maybe the saints here in chapter 11 by the context, these witnesses that have gone on before, or whoever these witnesses are. I just want you to picture for just a moment seeing a runner running a race and a great crowd of people watching this runner running the race. And God wants us to remember here today that we as Christians are in a spiritual race. We're in a spiritual battle, but we're in a spiritual race. We are to race that race that is set before us. The Bible says to run it, but to run it with patience. As someone said, the Christian life is not a little sprint or a 50-yard dash, but the Christian life is a marathon. God wants us to be patient and to run the race that is set before us. It's not just about starting well, but it's about finishing that race well. And God desires for us to run that race with patience. We need the strength of God. We need the very endurance that God can give to us. You see, you and I, in and of our own strength, we cannot accomplish anything. We are worthless on our own abilities, but instead, by the power of the great God that we serve, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can patiently run the race and not be discouraged and not be weary in well-doing. For as the Bible reminds us, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And as we consider this, let us lay aside every weight. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 24 through 26, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul, wrote, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You see, there are many today that will run or will participate in some sort of sports or some activity to obtain some sort of material possession or maybe some financial gain or some sort of reward in the temporal sense. But the Bible reminds us that we are not running to obtain a corruptible crown, but instead an incorruptible. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I'm not uncertainly going. I'm not haphazardly haphazardly, well, I'll run over here for a minute, and then if I change my mind, I'll turn around and run over this direction, and then if I, you know, maybe go over that way. We're not running uncertainly, just kind of all around in circles, or with no point, with no meaning, with no purpose. But instead, he says, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, not haphazardly, but we are following the principles and the precepts of the Word of God. We're running according to the guidelines given to us in this book, the Word of God. But I want us to consider, the Bible says that we are to lay aside every weight. Consider the weights. Weights are hindrances to running. I remember one time, I don't know if anybody's heard of the Caldwell family and the birds of prey. Anybody ever heard of that? I'm not sure if you have or not. But they have different things, or some sort of wild game dinners and things of that nature. And they brought their birds one time and for a wild game type of a meal. And they would give an illustration. Now, I'm not trying to be disgusting here, but they said these birds of prey, before they will fly, they will defecate so that they will not have an unnecessary weight as they fly. And the same thing is true in the Christian lives. God wants us as Christians to lay aside those weights, to lay aside those besetting sins in our lives, because they will keep us from doing what God would have for us to do if we have those weights. I remember one time I was on a hike with my wife, and we saw a man who was hiking up this mountain, up and down into this trail, a little bit of a steep grade, and he was dragging behind him a tire. And one of the regular tires, he'd had it chained to him, and he was dragging it along. Now, I know that was for endurance training, but that was slowing him down. He wasn't able to go as quickly as he would if he had just cut the cord and left that weight behind. Now, again, that's different in that sense. He was doing that to work up his strength. But if a person is going to run well and continue and be faithful, they need to lay aside those weights, as the Scripture tells us spiritually, that sin which will beset us, which will hinder us in that race that God has set before us. What's slowing you down in your Christian life? Is there something that is keeping you from truly doing what God would have for you to do with your life? Is there something that's keeping you from fully being what God would have for you to be? You need to, by God's grace, say, Lord, would you show me whatever that weight is, whatever that sin is that's besetting me, whatever that thing is that's in my life that is not allowing me to be able to continue to run that race to the level that you want me to run it. Would you allow me, dear Lord, to lay that aside? Would you allow me to do that race with patience for the Lord Jesus Christ? And so, number one, we consider Christ as we run the race. Number two, I want us just to consider Christ in his righteousness. Consider Christ as we run the race, number one. Number two, consider Christ in his righteousness. Notice verse 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want us to just pause for a moment and consider Christ today. I want us to just pause for a moment and say, Lord, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for what that you have done for me. Notice he says, looking unto Jesus, he is the author of our faith. But he's not only the author of our faith, he is the finisher of our faith. He's not going to say, well, you know, I died on the cross for you, you're saved, that's it, that's the end of the story. No, he keeps us saved. He is the one that is the finisher of our faith. He's the one that's going to fulfill his promises to us, that he will receive us into glory. And I'm so thankful for the fact that Jesus is not just the author of the faith, but he is the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning, and he's also the end. He's the one that saves us, and he's the one that keeps us saved. I consider in some of these attributes, we just want to kind of pause here for a moment as we're considering Christ. And as the Scripture says, to look unto Jesus, I want us to just look unto Jesus for just a moment. Consider that Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 is eternal. Jesus is eternal. Let's hold your place in our text this morning and turn to Colossians chapter number 1, verses 16 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 1. We just want to take a moment today and just exalt our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see Him high and lifted up. We want to see Him exalted in our hearts and lives today. That's our goal. Every time we gather together would be that Jesus would be exalted, that Jesus would be praised, and that Jesus would then draw people unto Himself. Whether if they're not saved, that they would be saved. If they're saved, that they would be drawn closer to Him and just continuing to glorify and please Him in their lives. The Bible says in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, "For by Him were all things created." Think about that. By Him were all things created. Pause right there and just think about John chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." The Bible says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Think about this. Jesus is the Creator. He is the Word that was made flesh, that dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm so thankful that by Him were all things created that are in heaven, the Bible says, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Verse 18, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." You see, today Jesus Christ is the Creator, but He is our head today. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. We think about He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one that never had a beginning. He always existed. I think of that as we recently even were in a K-5 graduation program and seeing how these young children were asked questions about God and who made God. No one made God. And when did God begin? God always has existed. God never had a beginning. Our finite minds can't comprehend that. We can't imagine something never beginning. If I were to tell you this morning that this service will not end, we are going to continue on and on, and just, you know, if you want to leave, you can, but we're just going to continue forever. You would look at me like I was crazy. And I would be if I said that, because this service would come to an end at some point, whether that would be the rapture or whatever the case might be. But I could not continue in this service forever. And the same thing is true in our lives. We say, well, everything has to have an end. But no, Jesus never will end. Jesus never had a beginning. And though we can't understand it, we know that it's true, as the Bible tells us, that Jesus is the eternal God. But we want to also consider that Jesus is sovereign. As Isaiah 44 verse 6 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside Me there is no God." He's over all. He is eternal. He is the sovereign God that is over all. He is over the entire world today. He is over all that is in this world today. He is supreme in power. He is superior to all. He has the highest authority of all. He is the one to whom we give our worship and our praise today. Consider just for a moment the person of Christ. Consider for a moment the power of Christ. Consider for a moment His presence in your life today. But I want us to consider His works as well, as we see in our text. We're looking unto Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. But I want us to consider some of Jesus' works as we see back in our text in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2. The Bible says this. He says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Notice the works. "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I want you to pause and consider what Jesus went through for us. We think about how Jesus had those nails in His hands and His feet. I think about how Jesus was whipped. I think about how Jesus paid that ultimate price there upon the cross. And the Bible says in John 19:30, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, 'It is finished.' And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost." He died on that cross for us. But I'm so thankful that He did not stay dead. But the Bible reminds us that He rose again victorious over sin, death, and the grave. That He was risen for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 reminds us which wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He is above all the dominions of this world. He is above all the kings of this world. And I know people were talking about this. I really didn't pay much attention to it. Some about this royal wedding yesterday. Some people may have watched that. I really didn't have really much desire to see any of that. But the truth is, how people put some emphasis on this and how much money all these things were, how much cost was involved with that, and just I don't see the real importance of it, but how important people made that in their lives, how many people consider that so important, but Jesus is far more important than anything like that that might have taken place, or any principality, any power, any might, any dominion, any person, any place, anything. He is more powerful. He is more important. I'm so thankful that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again for you and for me today. But because of that, we can have that relationship with him. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 reminds us, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Aren't you so thankful for the fact that we can come to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, that we can go directly to him and we can pray? I'm so thankful because of what he did for us. We have that relationship with him. When we think about this, as this verse goes on to tell us in Hebrews chapter number 12, the Bible says that he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and after he was buried, he rose again. He's now set down at the right hand of the very throne of God. Jesus, victorious over sin, death, and the grave. Jesus, the eternal, sovereign King of kings and creator and sustainer. What a wonderful Savior we have today. Let me just encourage you for just a moment to pause and consider Christ and his person and his works. Just in your heart, just pause and rejoice and give thanks unto God for who he is and for all that he's done for you and for me today. And if there be one here today that would say, "Well, I don't know the power of his resurrection. I don't know the power that he is has paid that price for me. I know you said he died for me, and I've heard he died for me. I heard he rose again for me, but I've never trusted in Christ." Let me encourage you today to trust in Jesus so that you can have him as your Savior today. You can know when you leave this world that heaven is your home, that Jesus is your Savior, that you won't have to worry about what's going on in our world. As we were looking at Psalm 37 even this morning about fretting not. If you're fretting, if you're fearful, if you're afraid today, if you're concerned about what's going on, and we should be concerned, but we know the end of the story. We know the book of Revelation. We know that God is in control, that he is having the final victory in hearts and lives today. Jesus is on the throne today. He's not fallen off the throne. He never will be off the throne. And he is in charge. I even think about in that book of Revelation, we think about how that period of time when those witnesses are there lying in the streets and how these people will be rejoicing and giving gifts one to another and all these things. They're so happy that they think that Satan has won, you know, and all they think that Satan's crowd has won, but God raises them up. And think about that, how they are victorious. And God is victorious, though it may seem for a moment of time when people might try to say, "Oh, well, it seems like God's not in this situation or that situation." God's there, whether you see it in every detail or not at this point. God knows, and God has a purpose and a plan. And I'm thankful for the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6 reminds us, "Jesus saith in him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way to come to the Father for salvation. Consider Christ in his person and consider Christ and his work. So consider, number one, Christ as we run the race. Number two, consider Christ his righteousness. But number three, if you're taking notes, consider Christ to give us renewed strength. Consider Christ to give us renewed strength. Notice verse 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." Think about all that Christ went through on the cross. Not only on the cross, but before he went to the cross. You think about all those that were against the Lord Jesus, those that were plotting against him, trying to completely destroy him. And we understand that until it was God the Father's plan for Jesus to lay down his life for us, people say many times that they killed Jesus. Well, really, he was killed, but he laid down his life. This was not something that was involuntary. This was something that he willingly did for us upon that cross, all a part of the Father's plan for the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you consider that contradiction of sinners against himself. You consider all that Jesus experienced for us. And if you don't pause from time to time and just consider Christ, if you don't pause to just exalt Jesus for just a few minutes, if you don't pause maybe for a few hours, if you don't just pause for a little bit, even in your time when you're trying to serve God and live for God, maybe the pressures of life, the stresses of the world, all those things that are in this sinful world in which we live and the challenges that we'll face day by day, moment by moment, if you don't pause for a moment and just look unto Jesus and consider Christ for just a minute, sometimes you'll become wearied, as the verse 3 says, and faint in your minds. Let me ask you, where do you go when the problems of life come? Where do you turn when you just don't know the answer? You just don't know where to turn or what to do or the answer to the problem or the question of the day in your life. The Bible reminds us of, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ over in Psalm 69 in verse number 20, where the Bible says, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Maybe sometimes you can relate to this psalm where you might say, well, I look for pity. I look for someone to just help me and to be there for me in this time of challenge or need. I look for a comforter, somebody to help me, but there was none. But I'm so thankful that we have a comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, if you're a believer in Christ. He is the one that can give you the comfort and strength in the time of challenge. Think about, though, the pain and the agony that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced. Think about the challenge that he faced in his life. But I'm so thankful that we can go to the Lord for strength. I'm reminded of a scripture verse. Of course, we understand there in the book of Isaiah, but an application that we can take in verse 30 and 31, where the Bible says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." You see, it's not based upon physical strength of an individual or human might and power. But the Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." As we are running with patience that race that's set before us, the only way that we can continue running that race is if we pause and we look unto Jesus. If we pause in verse 3 and consider him, and you consider his person, and you consider his works and his death on the cross, his burial and his resurrection, and you consider the fact that Jesus is coming again. If you consider all these things and just focus on Jesus, that will give you the renewed strength to continue on. That will give you that renewed strength so that you will not be wearied or faint in your mind. The Bible reminds us, as we even looked at in Sunday school this morning in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." You see, if you're afraid, you can automatically understand that that's not something that God gave to you. God didn't want you to be fearful, as it were, the fear of man. The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. The Bible says, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." And so, if we're fearful, maybe it's because we're not looking unto Jesus. Maybe it's because we've not considered Christ as we should today. The Bible says he's not given us the spirit of fear, but notice, of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what Jesus has given you. If you're afraid, that's not of God. That's not God's. Now, God wants us to have godly fear, that fear of God. That's not fear of circumstances and fear of what's going to happen and just fright and angst and anxiousness and just, you know, nervousness and all those things. But instead, a dependence upon God and that reverence and that true fear of the Lord. Consider Christ to give us renewed strength. Let me ask you today, have you paused and considered Christ this week? Have you paused and just thanked God for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the devil today wants us to consider all of everything else. The devil wants us to keep our eyes on individuals, on people, on things and all that's going on. But God wants us to keep our eyes fixed on the Word of God and on the Lord Jesus Christ to give us the strength that we need. So number one, consider Christ as we run the race. Number two, consider Christ and His righteousness and His person and His work in verse number two. Consider Christ to give us renewed strength in verse number three, that we be not weary, that we faint not in our minds. But I want you to consider this fourth point as more of an application point. Number four, consider Christ for the revival of the purpose that we have on this earth. Now let me ask you this question. Why are we here as Christians still upon this earth? Why is it that God has left us here? Why is it that the trumpet doesn't sound immediately? Now it could. But why is it if God allows us time, and why has God allowed us time here on this earth? What are some reasons God has left us here? Well, I believe ultimately to glorify and to please Him, but there's some different aspects of that that we want to just take a moment and just remind ourselves of this morning as we prepare to close. But to take it from the considering of Christ and take it from as we consider Christ, these are some applications that will flow from that. Number one, a purpose of supplication and of Scripture study. Supplication of spending time with the Lord in prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer, the Bible says, of a righteous man availeth much. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And we could go on and on and share story after story of times that God has answered prayer. How about studying the Word of God? I think about our memory verses that we've been going through. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And I believe that God wants us to read His Word, but God doesn't just want us to read it and leave it there. Because it's so easy, if we're not careful, we can read along and we understand it and we know what it says and we may even follow through with what's being said and what's being listed here. But then what happens sometimes if we're not careful? We'll read it. We'll say, okay, I learned something from that. We'll put it away. And then what do we do throughout the rest of the day? Do we think about it sometimes? Sometimes, if we're honest, I think we'll find that we've forgotten what we read about. And so, not just leaving it with reading, the Bible doesn't specifically, I don't believe, if you can show me a verse, I'll stand corrected, but I don't believe the Bible specifically says, read your Bible. But that's implied because it tells us to study, to show thyself approved to God. Now, we're to read it, yes, but ultimately we are to study to show thyself approved unto God. We are to read it with the intent of studying how we love the Word of God, that we're not just hearers of the Word, but that we're doers only. Now, I'm not saying the Bible does not say to read it, because it's implied specifically if we do read, that if we do study, we're going to have to read it first. We're going to have to read the words. We're going to have to understand the words, but that we need to be students of the Word of God. We need to be studying God's Word. How important it is that we do that. We could spend so much time considering that today. And I'd encourage you to take time, even with this chapter and even over this few verses that we've emphasized this morning in Hebrews chapter number 12, that you consider these verses, that you study through these verses, that you consider the cross of Christ, consider what He went through for us, consider the love that He has for us. But so, a purpose of supplication and Scripture study, but secondly, a purpose of right speech. Now, we consider if we're putting God's Word in our hearts, that's what can affect what's coming out of our lips by way of an application. If we have God's Word flowing in, then God's Word is going to be coming out in our speech. The Bible reminds us that we'd have sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he's of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you, that we need to be quoting the Scriptures to others and having those words of the Bible going out of our mouth. We need also, as we're living for God and as we're considering Christ, it will affect our service for God. Let's look briefly at Philippians chapter 2. And again, these are just some applications and reminders. We could look at many more. But as we consider Christ, I believe it will affect our lives. We're not just considering Him just for a few moments here in our Sunday morning service, but we're considering Christ in our daily lives. And as we consider Him, we'll look for verses of Scripture that speak of Christ. And as we look at the whole Bible, it all really points to Christ. It all really points to our great God. Notice the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think about Christ being a servant. Let me ask us this question. As we serve God here in 2018, who is it that I can serve as Christ served me and humbled himself and was obedient unto death that we could have eternal life? Who are we willing to serve? We'd ultimately serve God, and as we serve God, then that will serve other people as well. A purpose of supplication in scripture study, a purpose of right speech, a purpose of servanthood, a purpose of singing. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. As we are living our lives, if we are truly worshiping God and considering Christ, I believe it will affect the words that come out of our mouth by way of song. Colossians 3:16, we sing here and we sang this morning. What a wonderful blessing. And I think of the special as well. We think of God's Word. We think of looking for the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. Think about that. When we're here singing the songs, we're not just singing them just to sing them. We're ultimately singing them to the Lord. But the Bible says also that we are to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. So we're singing to the Lord, but we're also admonishing and teaching one another as we're here. If a lost person were to come in and we are singing a song about Jesus, and we're teaching and training them with the words that are coming out of our mouths. And I think that's very important. We could spend some time here about this unity that we have as we're gathered together. As a lost person comes in and everyone's singing the songs, that's agreement that's shown there. As everyone's listening to the Word of God as it's preached and as it's taught, that's agreement that's there. And as a lost person comes in, they're being taught not just by the word that's coming forth, but also as everyone is in agreement as they are singing these songs and as they're hearing the Word of God together. Kind of a side note there. But we consider also a purpose of soul winning. In Luke 19:10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came, that people could be saved. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me ask you, are you a soul winner seeking to reach souls for Christ? Is that the purpose of your heart? If you truly love God, like I said in Sunday school, that will affect the words that come out of our mouth. We'll be speaking words about God to everyone we come in contact with. Let's be faithful to give out the good news. And I believe that's one of the main things that God has for us as we study His Word, that we would learn His Word, that we would share it with others that are believers, and then we'd share it with those that are lost with compassion. Are you fainting a bit today? Are you being weary in your mind and fainting in your mind this morning? Is there anyone that's weary or heavy-hearted this morning? Tell it to Jesus, the song says. I think of another song by, I think it's Miss Helen Lemmel, called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It goes and says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And if you'll focus on Christ, all of this life, all the things of life, that the uncertainties of life, the challenges of life, those will begin to dim as we consider who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Let me ask you today, are you considering Christ today? Number one, if you've not considered Christ in the aspect of your salvation, let me encourage you, don't leave today without getting that matter settled. Don't leave today and say, well, I think I might go to heaven. I think maybe I might, get it settled. Make sure you know for sure. The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and for mine, that we could have eternal life. That word eternal indicates forever. Bible says, I've given them eternal life and they shall never perish, and about that no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. If we're truly saved, that is salvation that's forever. And if you are not sure that you have eternal salvation, let me encourage you to get that settled today. But if today you've already considered Christ in the aspect of your salvation, maybe you need to consider Christ in the aspect of your spiritual life and your spiritual growth, and consider Him, because maybe you've become a bit weary in your mind today. You need God to revive your purpose in this life. You need God to revive us again, that we might truly be considering Christ as we run the race in His person, in His work, to revive the purpose that He's given to us, to renew the strength that we have in our lives day by day. Let's consider Jesus today and every day of our lives. Let's pause each day and say, Lord, I just thank You for what You have done for me. I thank You for who You are. I want to consider You today. I want to exalt You today. And I want to focus on what You've done for me today. Just pause and thank God for a moment for what He's done, for who He is in your life. If you have a friend or loved one, a relative that means something to you, that's important to you, not only will you want to spend time with them like we should spend time in the Word of God and in prayer, not only will you want to do things for them, serve them, not only will you want to also tell other people about them. And the same thing should be true. If we truly love Jesus, we should be living our lives in the way that we would show love to other people as well. Let's bow for a word of prayer and ask God to help us to truly consider Christ, and that we'll then, He'll change the way that we live our lives on a day-to-day basis. Father, we do thank You for this time that we've had to be in Your house today. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. And Lord, I pray that we would just take a moment and just turn our eyes upon Jesus this morning. I pray if there be one here today that does not know You as their Savior, that they be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment, just so I can pray for you. Again, I can't save you. Having me pray for you is not going to save you today. It has to be a decision that you make on your own. But if there be someone here today that you might say, with no one looking around, you say, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to know. Would you just be willing to either look up at me or slip your hand up? We'll not call to you. We'll not come to you or say your name or point to anyone to go over to you. We will do none of those things. But if there be one here today that you say, I need to be saved, but I want you to just pray for me today. Would you just look up at me just for a moment? Okay. How many here today would say, either by uplifted hand or just look at me this morning, would just say, God's spoken to me about some aspect of my life. I want to truly look unto Jesus. I want to truly focus on Him this week and the rest of my life. I want to do that. Would you slip your hand up? That's God's, your testimony that you have today, several hands. Father, I pray that You bless now this invitation time. Lord, for those hands who are raised, Lord, know my hands raised. Lord, I want to be more considering You, focused on You. Lord, not focused on everything else. Lord, we see all that's going on, but it ultimately, that points to You. It points to what You're doing in our world today and how the Lord Jesus is coming. Help us to be prepared. Help us to be warning other people. Lord, You've given us a space of grace that we might be able to share that wonderful good news with a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, day by day, to look for those opportunities You'd give to us. Pray, bless this invitation time in Jesus' name.
Just mentioning just a few moments ago, it's number 546 in your new book. 546, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And stand, please, as we sing. 546. Thank you. spiritual help, we're certainly more than happy to help. So come see us after the service this morning. We want you to leave here today knowing that everything is right between you and the Lord, whatever that might be, whether it's salvation or your heart's not right with the Lord and you need to take care of that too. It's important. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your word today. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that in spite of our sin, you still loved us enough to come here to this earth. You didn't have to, but you did it because of your love for each one of us. We pray that we would turn our eyes upon you as this song just said. And may it be ever in front, forefront of our minds that we need to love you and serve you with everything that we have and everything that we are. Because the ultimate goal is to bring honor and glory to you, Father, and to you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing, and we pray that you would bring us back here again tonight for another opportunity to hear from you, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.